This week I have Sarah Turner with me, a practitioner and trainer in vibrational medicine and essences with over 20 years of teaching experience. So believe me, she knows her stuff. So hi Sarah, thanks for joining me this week.
Hi Debbie, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too, because only just recently I had a naturopath on who was talking about the Bax flower remedies, and she really whetted my appetite. So when I saw you and I saw that, you know, you had this background in the essences, I just thought, woohoo, I can actually expand the audience's information about it even further, and mine.
Yes, well, the essences, they are medicine of the future, but as we head into the future, obviously, I think they are going to come into their own in the next few years in a much more, people are going to start using them more and will understand them more, and they will become, the flowers will start to do what they've wanted to do for ages, which is help.
I think it's absolutely lovely that you call them the medicine of the future. That's such a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, well, when you look into it, they're very ancient medicine, very, very ancient. I mean, the first people you hear talking about them was when you go back into the ancient civilizations such as the Atlanteans. There's, if you go back into those records, there's suggestions that they were using the dew off of plants. Which is something very similar to what flower essence practitioners do. So it's very, very ancient medicine, but as you alluded to just now, the modern use of them really came back with Dr. Bach. I actually say Batch. It's spelled B-A-C-H. And some people say Bach, some people say Batch. It's just the pronunciation I learned right from the beginning, so that's what I use. But in the 30s, Edward Batch kind of brought them back into the world, and they're still used today, which is amazing.
And before I start, I'm tempted to just launch straight in there and kind of carry on that bit, but just tell me a little bit about your background, tell the audience a little about your background, because I'll be honest, when I was at school, the careers officer never once said to me, did you fancy going into vibrational medicine? So how did you choose that as a career?
Yes, well, that's a good one. Well, it wasn't anything I thought about until quite a lot later in life. My actual background, I have a degree in marketing, which always makes me chuckle, because it's the one element of my business that, you know, actually the whole area of marketing fascinates me, but it's the one bit of that, you know, I struggle with often. So I'm much more somebody who likes to be in nature, I've always felt much more comfortable outside, always enjoyed outdoor pursuits. I've always been quite a quiet person, sensitive in certain aspects. So my reason for saying this is really just to make the point that I didn't realize just how sensitive I was until much later on in life. I was kind of, because nobody had really spoken to me about how people were different or people could feel or see or be in touch with different things. You just kind of launch into life and get on with what the school tells you to do. So I ended up at university studying marketing, had a great time as it happens, lived in France for several years. As a result, speak French, went off and did all sorts of travelling around the world types of things. Ended up back in England with my partner, who I'm still with now. And this learning about essences really started when I was in my 30s, and my father died, actually it was in my late 20s, very, very unexpectedly. And I was left with the situation of looking after my mother, and it was just such a shock to all of us because he was literally here one minute and gone the next. And several months after that, I started to get hints in my own body that all was not well. And over the next few years, developed a lot of anxiety problems to the point that I was having panic attacks, hospitalized, all sorts of weird and wonderful things. Nobody really knew what was going on. And one day somebody was cutting my hair and she said, oh, have you ever heard of flower essences? I was like, no. And she said they might help. And that was really the beginning of it all. I consulted somebody who knew about them. And that was the beginning of it all. I've never, ever looked back from that point. I learned all about the batch essences, was, you know, one of these mad people that just talked about them all the time. Everybody that ever anybody to my family, my friends, it was like, how about one of these? Probably drove everybody mad. And then I discovered this whole world of flower essences of other ranges that I just didn't know existed. I started learning about the Australian bush essences and the Alaskan essences, and it was just all this, it was like going through a door into this whole new world. And in this other world, there was all these amazing ranges of essences. And I was like, wow, how did I not know that these existed? So I actually then decided to take a professional qualification, which I did. And back in 2003, I qualified, and that's really me now. That's what I do now. I took the big plunge, gave up the other things, mostly. I still teach Tai Chi. And this is what I do now. And it's completely transformed me as a person. And because I know so deeply inside that I dread to think, I mean, the other aspect of me that I think is important to share is that in my 30s and my 40s, my partner and I went through a very difficult time of trying to have a baby, and I miscarried and hadn't gone on to become a mother. But it was a really difficult time in my life, really, really difficult for both of us. And as a couple, we've come out much stronger. But when I think of how difficult it was and some of the dark moments that I did actually go through, it was the essences that changed it all round and allowed me to see what actually was going on and why I had chosen in this life not to be a mother. And so having that very deep sense of who I am and what I do and why I'm here, just I have to share what I do. I have to help others, if they wish, find the same answers.
And has that led to you being a teacher in it?
Yes, so absolutely, yes. My main work actually right now is teaching other practitioners of other modalities to use flower essences, yes, and it's amazing. I love it.
And you're one of the few certified floral acupuncture practitioners in Europe. What exactly is floral acupuncture?
Yes, it's an amazing way of using flower essences. Most people use flower essences internally, and it's a great way of doing it, and I do it all the time. So if I maybe just say, explain what I mean by internally, flower essences are, they come in little bottles filled with usually brandy or vodka as a preservative. They are liquid, and you take them under the tongue usually. They're a liquid preparation, and it's taken internally. There's a whole new modality, which is quite new, although I'm sure it's got very ancient roots, of using them on the skin topically. And when you take flower essence internally, its purpose and what most people find is that it starts to help them see the world differently. It can actually make people feel physically different, but that's usually because it calms them if they're feeling anxious, or uplifts them if they're feeling depressed, or it unsticks them as if they're feeling unstuck. And I'm sure you know that can really make the physical body work much more effectively. When people use them topically, we find that if there is something physical going on, it's the response is usually much faster. Actually applying it to the cells of the skin allows the body to digest the vibration in a different way, and it's felt more easily, and therefore the journey is usually faster between A and B. Floral acupuncture is where essences are placed specifically on acupuncture points. So part of it is knowing a little bit about acupuncture, although the qualification that I have is not at all to do with acupuncture. I'm not an acupuncturist. although my background in Tai Chi, I do have an understanding of Chinese medicine, and you place essences on the acupuncture points, and it's amazing.
So is it a bit like, well, I use laser acupuncture, to be honest. So I'm wondering, is it a bit like tapping on the points?
I guess so, although I've not done that. Yeah, I mean, in part, I'm sure. What you have when you use, because you're actually applying the essence to a point, you're actually stimulating the point. So just like if you're doing acupressure, you actually stimulate the point. You can do that with your finger or, as you say, with a laser or by tapping it. You're actually stimulating the acupuncture point and therefore opening up the meridians and sending electrical messages through the body. What you're actually doing when you place an essence on there is stimulating the point, but also the message of the essence is going into the electrical system.
That's such a nice idea. You've just got me thinking about how I can apply that in my own practice.
Yes.
Because I actually make tailored remedies. And, of course, I do the laser acupuncture, but I've never really thought about using the remedies on the actual points. Now you've got me thinking. That is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And how do you identify which points to actually work with?
Well, I follow the system that was taught to me by the two people that taught me floral acupuncture. That's Deborah Craden and Warren Bellows. They actually have a lovely book if anybody's interested in following this up. It's called Floral Acupuncture, and it's very easy to find if you Google that or go onto Amazon. And it actually works. The reason it works with the batch essences, so it's very, very accessible, and they chose to publish the book using the batch essences so that it would be of service to most people. So if you know the batch essences or have access to them, and most people do nowadays because they can be found very easily in the shops, then, for example, it tells you, for example, cherry plum goes on the back of the neck onto the governing vessel, just literally at the top of the spine. It tells you which points. It is a word of caution for anybody that wants to try it. It is quite a powerful treatment.
Don't mess with your meridians, guys, too much.
Yeah, it's not to kind of be done while you're driving down the motorway or anything like that, you know, like you wouldn't give yourself or have somebody else give you, you wouldn't have an acupuncture treatment with your needles in driving down the motorway or jogging around the block, or you wouldn't have an acupuncture treatment and then, you know, go off and do something. You'd rest afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, so it's quite profound, but also very gentle, because fluorescences are. It's a strange sort of polarity, having a gentleness within this sense of depth that you can go to. So the book tells you how to do it, basically. So I recommend you have a look and have a go. It's fascinating and very, very healing.
And totally accessible by everybody. So it's not something that you have to go to somebody then to actually learn. You can become responsible for that yourself.
You can, and that was what Dr. Batch wanted. And that's the Batch Foundation has really continued that on. And yes, you can do that. I mean, what is useful about going to see a practitioner is that it's very hard, very often, for us to see ourselves, even for those of us who are used to doing this kind of thing. You know, it's often because the bits of us that need healing are often the very bits that we don't want to look at. And so, therefore, even somebody like myself, you know, I consult somebody else. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of my own healing, but sometimes, you know, we need somebody else to reflect back us in the mirror. So, yes, you can do an awful lot by yourself, but it's best done with some understanding. That doesn't mean say you have to go and be a practitioner in it, but it's easier if you have some understanding, and of course there's lots of information out there nowadays on the web to help you do that.
Fantastic. And you've just got me thinking about something else I can now use in my own practice, which is quite exciting for me.
Yes.
I think I'll be talking to you more about this, or I'll get you on again at some stage. Now, you're an expert in the vibrational essences, and until recently I never realised there were quite so many, if I am absolutely honest. And what I'm finding is that as I've been going on a journey the last couple of years, people have been putting different types in front of me. Now, and then I've gone onto your website and been kind of almost overblown by how many. Do you want to just cover off some of them, including some of the more obscure ones?
Sure. Well, maybe I'll just list some of the ones that I actually teach other practitioners to use, because they're the ones that I know best. So, the ones that most people know about are the batch ones, and we've already sort of talked about those. The other more, probably the next most well-known are the Australian bush, which are amazing. They're very, very good because Ian White, the creator of them, is a naturopath himself and actually comes at healing from a reason. I mean, he's a very spiritual guy, really spiritual guy, but he talks about things in quite physical ways because that's what he does. So the Australian bush essences are great for if people are kind of honing in through the more physical type symptom. They are quite powerful in their usage, quite quick acting. Complete at other end of the spectrum, also amazing, are the Alaskan essences, headed off by Steve Johnson. I'm sure, as everybody knows listening, Alaska is a very different country from Australia. So when you look at an essence range, its vibration is very much dictated. It's not really the right word, but the main vibration that comes through the essences comes from the land that the plants grow on. Yeah. So Australia is obviously a very sacred Aboriginal place of very deep connection to that kind of land and that kind of the beliefs that come through that culture. It's a very hot country. The flowers are huge there, and I mean huge. In Alaska, it's a very cold country, and the flowers that grow there have a very small window of about 4 to 6 weeks in the middle of the summer to do everything. So they're very different plants. They, not always, but they're much smaller. They're usually more mute in colour. They're not as flamboyant. So they have they're also quite fast acting, actually, because the flowers there have to flower very quickly, mm-hmm. because otherwise they won't survive. They have to do their job quickly. So the Alaskans carry that vibration through. They're more, though, if you're treating the physical with the Australian bush, although we should say that flower essences don't treat the physical, they treat the emotions, but if you're treating, coming at it more from that perspective, the Australian bush are great. Alaskan essences don't mention the physical at all, they don't really go into that. They're more of the soul journey, so if somebody's really looking at why they're here, what's happened to them, and trying to understand from a much more soul perspective, the Alaskans are wonderful for that. They're very supporting, very nourishing, very beautiful, very sensitive. So that's the Alaskans. There is a lovely range of essences called Spirit in Nature, which is a small range, and they are vibrational vitamins. So anybody that's interested in nutrition, they are all flowers from fruits and vegetables. And they're a lovely, lovely range, headed off by a lady called Leela Davy, who's a sweetheart. Her website is very accessible. There's lots of YouTube videos around what she does. Lovely, lovely range. Another range that's coming into my mind, which is very useful for everybody to know about, are the indigo essences, headed off by a lady called Anne Callahan, who's from Ireland. And they were created really for children, to start with, the indigo children. So all the kids that get labelled with the ADD, ADHD labels, also known as the indigo children. They were created for children, and they're a lovely, lovely range that do just that, and they've all got names that children would give them, such there's one that comes to mind is for if you don't like doing your homework, there's a lovely essence called Plurk. because that's the noise you make when you think, oh, you know. So, but they also work with the inner child. So adults use them as well. Oh gosh, my mind's gone blank. There's a zillion other ranges. My own range, I have a range called Moonflower. That was a complete surprise to me when that started happening, because I never really intended to have my own range. What's different about these essences than many of the others is that I make the flowers themselves in sunlight, which is the traditional method, but then I also add moonlight water to the essences. So they are very balanced in yang. So if the sunlight brings in very yang energy, the moonlight brings in a very different kind of energy. It's still reflected sunlight, but it's much more yin, much more cooling, stilling, more of a feminine nature. So they have the two polarities within them. Being a sensitive person myself, I find we're finding that they're quite useful for people who find some of the other ranges too strong, too in their face. So they're quite gentle.
Now, but let me just clarify. You just said you make the flower in sunlight and moonlight. Can you just explain what you actually mean by that? Because even I don't really know how they're made.
Okay. So, okay. Cool. Yeah, sure. So the most common way of making flower essences, I'll take you through the little what we would do as flower essence makers. First of all, you need a day of complete sunlight, so it's actually quite difficult to do in this country, in the UK, because we don't have that many days of complete sunshine. So you need a day of total blue skies, and you also need a day when the flower is in full bloom. So assuming that the flower is willing to take part, and we would normally ask the flower if it wants to take part and listen very carefully to its answer. So assuming that you get a yes, the flowers are, there's different ways of doing it. So I'm explaining the one that Dr. Batch used. Mm-hmm. The flowers are taken from the plant and floated in a bowl of pure spring water in the sunlight. And it's left there for several hours. There's no real, it has to be this long or this time, although most people say morning sunlight is better. At which point, when it's ready, and you know when it's ready, you often see little bubbles starting in the water. The water changes. It just looks different at the end. You have to kind of be there to see it, but you can see the water has changed. It just has a different quality about it. The flowers are removed, and then that water, that is your essence. Now, obviously, if you don't put it with a preservative, it won't last. So they're usually preserved in brandy. So they're put in big bottles called mother tincture, 50% brandy with the essence. And then that is diluted down into different strengths, a little bit like homeopathy. It's not the same thing at all, but it's made into more diluted forms, which are easier for the body to digest. Very safe as well. So that's the sunlight method, and that's what most people use. For some reason, when I first started making essences, I started making them in the moonlight. So I would pick the flower and put them in a bowl of water in exactly the same way, but under the full moon. And I had no idea why I was doing it, but over the years I have come to see that why I was doing it, because I was then to create this range called Moonflower. So most of the essences that I make that are available now, the flowers are made in the sunlight essence, in the sunlight method, so the blooms are floated in water during the day in the sunlight, and then when I decant the essences, I add to the mother tincture bottle water that has been charged in moonlight.
Oh, fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So we truly are talking about vibrational work there.
Yes, yes. And it all came through, you know, all on its own, really. You know, over the years, you just have no idea why you're doing things, and you kind of don't really talk about it because it's strange. And then a system emerged, and Yeah, so.
And you said about listening to the flower. Now, I actually go foraging, and although I go with a book, I will basically experience the foliage, right, via my hands. So I know what I can and can't eat because of that. And so I can experience the energy coming off it. How do you know, you know, when you're listening to the flower about whether it wants to take part? Just let me understand what your process is then, how you're experiencing that.
Yeah, I mean, very, very similar. It's really what you're talking about is attunement, isn't it? It's allowing yourself to be still in that moment, trusting what you feel back. So what I would do is, it's usually something, in my case, it's usually in the spring and the summer, which is when people usually make essences, I just start seeing these flowers that I'd never seen before. You know, everywhere I go, I start seeing them. And then there's, you know, you look at the weather forecast and there's an amazing spell of weather coming up and, you know, you kind of think, okay, so I could start doing this. And flowers just start to become available. And sometimes you have to journey to actually go and make them. Sometimes they arrive in your own garden or in gardens around you. But I would actually, so I kind of just know it beforehand. The flower starts to speak to me beforehand. It starts to just make its presence known. You know, please make me into an essence. I've learned to trust that over the years. So so I've usually got a yes before I even start. But on the day, I would actually approach the plant and just be still myself and thank the plant spirit for speaking to me. And usually the plants chosen have lots of different flowers on them, and just ask which flowers want to take part and which prefer, feel that their role is more to stay with the plant. So I would then choose the blooms, and I just feel it inside me pretty much the same way as you when you go foraging.
Yeah.
I just know which ones are saying, yeah, take me, and which ones are saying, no. And it's very important to honour that, very, very important.
And some are made with gemstones, aren't they? So I did notice on the website that there are essences made with actual gems and stones.
Yes. Yes, there are, yes, that, and the indigo essences actually are, I maybe should have said before that I spoke about the children's ones, they are made with gem essences. So yes, it's exactly the same process really. The crystals or the gems are placed in water, in sunlight, or possibly moonlight. They are quite different in nature. They're more physical because the crystal world is much denser than the flower world. They are a denser vibration. Some people are liken them a little bit to homeopathy, to that. So it's coming more down into the physical plane. Yeah, they're amazing. And some, if a person is quite ethereal in nature, maybe another word might be ungrounded, and I would probably fall into that category because naturally I tend to go out rather than stay in. That's why I can do what I do. So it's a gift which needs to be honoured, but to actually operate in the physical world, you know, have a bank account and drive a car and do all those sorts of things that you do need to do, sometimes we need to have our physical bodies operating more effectively and more energetically. So crystal or gem essences are very good for people who find that they don't remain anchored in their body that easily. And there's those of us around, particularly people who are interested in the natural world, in the healing profession, many therapists, many practitioners are downloading so much information nowadays. And the only way it can really become effective in the modern mainstream world to make it available to as many people as possible is to have it physically in your body so that you can then become the arms and legs that go out and help others. So I hope that makes sense what I'm saying. So the gem essences, often they help us embody who we are. The flower essences, generally speaking, will raise our consciousness, clear things on soul levels, and really clarify what's going on. Gem essence tend to take that consciousness, that shift, and anchor it into the body, a little bit like scaffolding. You know, if there isn't great scaffolding in the body, isn't a good strong structure, everything else will fall down. So the gems bring in that scaffolding and help to anchor it down, and then the flowers can actually stay present. The messages, the consciousness can stay present.
Fascinating. Can you give me an understanding of some of the key essences you would use with some specific issues with people?
Of course, yes. Well, one of the main things that I would actually suggest for everybody, if you're drawn to using flower essences, I would really suggest that you buy, first of all, what I'm going to call a rescue remedy, but I realise that actually that is the name of the batch essences. But what I mean by that is a formula, and all ranges make them, that that you can carry in your pocket or your handbag, because they can be so, so useful when something, when a trauma or an accident happens, or you hear some news. And of course, thank goodness, we never know when those things are going to happen to us. So it's really helpful if you have something that you can just take or give to somebody else. It can make a huge, huge, huge difference to the outcome if you can, because when we hear bad news, or we have an accident, or we have surgery, or something really traumatic happens to us, what actually happens is the soul, the energy part of the body, actually leaves. You know, we have the expression, you know, I've jumped out of my skin. Mm. And that's a healing mechanism, and it's good. The body does it for a reason. The problem is when that's the soul, that energy body doesn't come back in. So for years later, somebody may be walking around literally with part of them in another place. And although that may have benefited at the time, it's not, the physical body may have a lot of problems operating on a physical level if it's not all present. So the sooner we can actually get something like a rescue remedy into the body, the easier it is for the body to actually start working properly. So some lovely rescue remedies are the ones that you can get in Boots. I would actually suggest that other ranges may be a little bit quicker acting.
Okay.
The Healing Herbs 5 Flower Remedy, which are made using the batch method, I find absolutely beautiful if you love the batch flower essences. So that's called 5 Flower Remedy. The Australian Bushes Bush Essences that I've talked about do an emergency essence. The Alaskans do something called Soul Support. The Moonflower range, the one that comes through me, its rescue remedy, in inverted commas, is called White Rose Healing. So that is one combination that I would really recommend that everybody has.
And how would you identify, so which one is better for yourself? So for instance, you've given us 4 different ones there. How would I know which one would be a good one for me to select?
So which is the one that sparkles most to you?
Okay, all right. And that's a good point, really, isn't it? Because it's what you're drawn to.
Yeah. So just by listening today to the different descriptions of them, if one doesn't, you don't really get one, you kind of think, well, I understand the words, but I don't really get that. You know, don't really understand what's being said. That's probably not the right one now. So it's the one that, you know, one that is it. Trust your intuition. There is a big difference, but they're just slightly different vibrations. And the job of a flower essence practitioner, just like any practitioner, is to find the essences that are fit best to the person in front of you. One of those combinations will be the most resonant. Mm. So for somebody listening, the best way to do it is to trust your gut instinct. And just say, okay, those Australian ones. Oh, well, actually, no, that White Rose one. Soul. Oh, yes, Soul Support. Yes. Go with your gut instinct.
Fascinating. Brilliant.
So other areas where essences can be really useful, I mean, one that I know, because I've worked with myself a lot in this area and a lot of clients that come to me, is all to do with female balance, also known as hormones. and all those things that go with it. Some lovely essences. One so easy to take is the Australian Bush Woman Essence. It's a lovely, lovely essence. Can make such a difference to us when we go through periods of our lives when our hormones are all over the place, and I don't really think we need to say possibly too much about that. But the one of the nice things about the bush essence is that they've been used by so many people, is that there's great testimonials around them. And there's one particular essence in the woman essence called she oak, which just does the most amazing things, and women conceive when they haven't been able to using it. It helps with hot flushes during menopause. It helps balance menstruation in teenagers. It's just an amazing, amazing essence, and can really have true benefits all the way down to the physical. So that's one that is very easy to use. In the ones that I use myself, I have some moon combinations that actually follow the moon cycles. They've only been used for the last 6 months, but the testimonials that are coming through are really quite amazing of how they're shifting things for all different kinds of people. So again, working with that moon connection for women is often very healing for them. And there's an essence for each stage of the moon. There's 8 different ones.
That's actually a fabulous, like, from a naturopathic point of view for me, that's really quite exciting to hear that, because of course the body shifts itself continuously through the moon cycle. And as women, we are particularly influenced by it.
Yes. And I think at all stages, I mean, I think for women who are still menstruating, just being aware of the moon is, because in this world nowadays, women with the pill and with tampons, all that kind of thing, the bleeding has all become very, very invisible. And it's like, I'm just going to keep going 24/7 and, you know, show everybody that I can do this and I'll just be as good as everybody else. You know, I think most women would know, kind of get that in some way. Whereas one of the healing things for me is when I actually realized that I couldn't do that, or it wasn't in my best interests to do that, and that if I watched the moon when she was dark, very often women will find that's when they menstruate. Mm. And to allow myself to be quieter, to be not scheduled so many things into my world at those times, or just to let my other half know that, you know, by the way, you know, so if I'm a bit cranky, this is why, you know, just to start allowing myself to be much more in tune with my own body. And also when women are no longer bleeding, it's very useful for them to still follow the moon cycle, to still have that connection to their own, that large part of them that was so part of them, you know, to allow that kind of vibration to still, just because many women, even when they're not bleeding anymore, still feel more active at full moon. In fact, I think most people do. Yep. So it's just to, and for children as well, people often find that children who are prone to temper tantrums will get worse just before the full moon.
Yeah.
So just being aware of all those moon cycles is very healing.
Oh, fabulous. And any more?
Oh, well, the other thing that came to me to really talk about today was the area of overwhelm.
Go on then, yeah, because that is absolutely key. It's coming through a lot at the moment in my own practice. So I would love to hear what, from your perspective, what you would do, what you'd put in place for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us are nowadays, just because there is so much coming at us. Life is so fast. The planet is literally speeding up, and whether we know that or not, we feel it. And as we move into 2013 as well, that is not going to get slower. The world is just all going to get faster. So the sooner we just accept it and do things to help us. I mean, I think one of maybe, you know, on a very practical level, one of the main things that I find in my practice, and certainly with the people that I teach, is that there's a lot of overwhelm to the physical system through the electromagnetic energies.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't quite take on board just how distressing that can be to the body to actually have, you know, the Wi-Fi signals all the time. Yeah. And there's some lovely essences that can really help with that kind of thing. Again, I'm going back to the bush essences, but that's probably just because they're very easy to use practically. There's a lovely essence called the Electro Essence, which is a bush essence combination. And let me just give you a little bit of research, which a lot of people don't know about, and it's not always easily accessible on the web. In 2002, the Green Cross in Switzerland used the Electro Essence with a group of children who were actually holidaying in Switzerland as a result of the Green Cross charity. And they were all children who'd been exposed to the Chernobyl disaster. And they had high levels of radiation in their body. And they were quite distressed children. They were physically challenged children. They had a lot of circulatory heart problems just because of the high levels of radiation and a lot of anxiety, and everything was going really fast and out of tune in their bodies. And they gave these children, and it was actually a piece of research that was done and tested by outside sources, which is why it's so valuable. These children were given 4 drops of the Electro Essence twice a day for 2 weeks, and the radiation levels came down in their bodies by 43%.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
That's a flower essence. You know, I think that has to be said. That is the kind of, if you get the right mix, it can really change everything. So for everybody, and that's all of us, who uses computers, mobile phones, all that kind of thing, the Electro Essence is a great essence to use periodically just to allow the body to earth and cleanse out some of these vibrations that are quite difficult for the system to hold.
Fantastic. And I know that Bush has got a number of pieces of research behind it, hasn't it, unlike the others to a certain extent?
Yes, the she-oak as well has had a lot of, the one I mentioned for the female balance has had a lot of, it's been used in Switzerland instead of HRT. Works just as well.
Yeah, Switzerland are doing so much in regards to homeopathy, adding it to their National Health Service and stuff. They did a massive piece of research just recently, over a number of years, which has meant that they've brought homeopathy back in. It'd be interesting to know whether they've actually added flower essences in to that as well.
Yes, there's certain countries that come forward, don't they, as pioneers.
Yeah.
There's just a couple of other essences that are kind of like, say, mention me, so I'll just mention them quickly.
Absolutely.
For overwhelm, elm. Yes. Which is easy to remember because of the word overwhelm, is one of the batch essences. It's great for anybody who just has got so much going on, finding it really difficult, what shall I do? There's just quite scattered and ungrounded, and it really helps to just allow the person to literally come back into their bodies, feel calmer, and then start to say, okay, what comes first? What shall I do first? And the other essence that also would like to be mentioned is one of the moonflower essences, which again comes up all the time, is windflower, which is actually the same flower that's used in the homeopathic remedy Pulsatilla. So it's actually quite a known person already. It's a very beautiful cup-shaped purple flower, and it's wonderful at grounding in a similar way to elm, but very helps us prioritize, stay calm, stay clear. The wind flowers are very famous at standing upright in the wind, literally. So when the winds of life blow strongly, the wind flower helps us to kind of stand in our integrity and stay true to who we are. And we're stopped us being blown around.
So what you basically said is you can change your health by changing your vibration. And it doesn't have to be that difficult in many respects. And you have inspired me to learn far, far more about the essences and to bring them into my practice far more, particularly because of the floral acupuncture, which I didn't know and had never considered using them like that. So for me, thank you very, very much, because I think you've just set me off on a little journey of learning. But Sarah, tell my audience how they get in touch with you, your website information, contact details, and you run workshops and training, so please tell them.
Okay, thank you. Well, there are two websites that people can go to if they want to find out more. If you're drawn to looking at the moonflower essences, there is a site called moonfloweressences.com where you can find out more about the essences and buy them in an online shop. You can see the sunlight and the moonlight essences and the moon combinations. That's also the place to go for consultations and to find out more. One thing I should say, and again, it's just coming into my head, so I'll say it very quickly. Essences work beautifully with animals, and they are one of my biggest client bases, actually.
Well, I used it with my dog. When I got my dog, and this is 7 years ago I got my dog, she'd been burnt, she'd been shot at, she was scared of her own shadow, never mind anybody else, and she'd been starved and stuff. And I used to leave the rescue remedy. I didn't know a lot about them at that point because I wasn't trained. I used to put rescue remedy on her back and on her bed and things like this. And people said to me about how quickly she changed, and I put it down to the fact that I was doing that with her.
Yeah, I mean, animals, like children, actually respond really quickly because they don't have this filter that says that even I have, and I shouldn't have it, but I do because I'm a human, yeah. You know, that says, oh, I can't do that, it's flower essence. Even though I say and do everything I do and my whole world revolves around it, there's still a bit of me that goes, oh, well, I can't do that. I have a belief system as an adult human that resists. Animals don't do that. If it's going to work, it'll work immediately, and I mean pretty much immediately. Children is similar, although they can tap into the their parents. What's going on around them can also influence them a lot. But so yes, I have a great affinity. I love to work with animals. So and we have a cat in spirit now called Marvin, who lived with us until the grand age of 20, who taught me masses about flower essences through his own journey. And he has his own small range of essences called Marvin's Strongheart Range. And you can find them on the moonfloweressences.com site. They're very sweet, and they get great testimonials come through. I'm humbled daily by what I hear. So that's the sort of flower essence side of me. The training side of me goes through a site called essentiallyflowers.com, and that's where you can find out about the different trainings that I offer. Currently there is a diploma on offer, which is accredited by the British Flower and Essence Association, British Flower and Vibrational Essence Association. It's an insurable certificate for practitioners. And launching in 2013, there's an introductory course as well, for people who just want to learn to use them for themselves. What's lovely about both of these courses is that they're mainly online. Well, in fact, the introductory one is totally online. The practitioner version does require a small level of attendance for accreditation purposes. But having said that, I do have students who are doing it outside of the UK who are not attending, and they're doing just great.
Thank you very much. It's been the beautifully calming Sarah Turner, who's a vibrational medicine practitioner. Thank you.
And thank you, Debbie.
This is Deborah Walker. This is Food for Thought. This is TNS Radio. Hello, hello, hello. And who's in the chat box? I've got Rich. Thank you very much, Rich, sending me lots of bits and pieces for us on cell phones. So you've obviously been doing quite a bit of reading about that. And Rich is up and feeling the new energies coming through. How wonderful is that? And is Alan around? Let's see. Who else is in there? Ducks, Duck Dodgers. Apparently I'm delicious, Debs. Thank you very much, Ducks. I appreciate that. And Alan is around. He is indeed posting stacks and stacks of stuff for us. So get in the chat box, everybody, and say hello to everybody. Because, you know, I love to hear from you all. I love to talk to you all, don't I? Let's face it. So did you enjoy Sarah Turner? Wasn't she absolutely lovely and so calming for this time? I think I've really spoiled you just lately, what we've had with Tom Evans on last week. and helping you kind of with this time of change. And then Sarah, vibrational essences will be fantastic for the moment. And, you know, she says at the end there, you know, animals are really receptive to them. So they probably need help as well at times. I know my dog, you know, she really does well with the vibrational essences. I really see a change in her, you know, when these things happen. So, and apparently Rich is on a mission in his own town with the EMF stuff. Yeah. Good on you. Yeah, because I do think we need to raise awareness, and it is probably about bringing it back to grassroots and doing it ourselves, and just talking to people. I was talking to someone this morning about geoengineering, and they're now going to speak to Anne Milton, the local MP. So, you know, it's just about sometimes talking, because the more people that we talk to, you know, we create around us what we want to see. You know, be the change that you want to see in the world. It's kind of a, you know, quote that lots of people use, but in all honesty, sometimes we try and change other people, and it's actually ourselves that we need to start with. So, how am I going to have a rant this week? I don't know. So let me see. The more and more practitioners like myself are finding that we can't advertise what we actually do. We can tell people what we do. So I can tell people that I'm a naturopath, for instance, but I'm not allowed to actually say the conditions that I work with and what I can actually help with anymore. So it's becoming harder and harder due to the Health Claims Act and the EU regulations and the advertising. So it is starting to kind of constrict us more and more. So what you'll find is that it's harder and harder to find practitioners under specific conditions. So, for instance, if you're looking for IBS, you're not going to, you know, people like myself now are not allowed to actually say that we help with IBS because it's a medical condition. I'm not allowed to say that I have any benefit. So, you know, it's something that you need to take on board, this, and it's also affecting testimonials as well. So my clients, you know, it's, and I'm getting quite upset about it, if I'm honest, because my clients will give me testimonials. It's the referral system like that is very much done by people saying the benefit that they've had from working with someone like myself. And in effect, that's being constricted more and more. So if I put a testimonial on my website, for instance, it's actually considered a health claim, and that I'm advertising and a health claim, and therefore I'm not really allowed to, and so are other practitioners. And I just really want people to be aware of this, that if you do go onto like a practitioner website and you see that all they're doing is advertising themselves as a herbalist or as a homeopath, then, and they don't say that there's any benefits behind it, that's not because they haven't been successful, it's because they're not allowed to tell you anymore. Okay. So you know, the ASAR, which is the Advertising Standards Agency, they are stopping health claims, and not just across supplements, but across the board in general. So it is affecting people like ourselves. And, you know, and this kind of, for me, links up with the fact that the testimonials really are about my clients saying the benefits that they have had and how it has truly affected them, the interaction that they've had with me. And that is an experience that they have had. And I've talked about this before, that scientists and lots of the these communities, corporate communities and organisations are ignoring your experience over what they consider to be factual evidence. And I clearly say what they consider to be factual evidence, because it doesn't seem to matter anymore that about your experience in all of this. It's actually about what they have written down and what they have either proven in the way that they've chosen to prove it. And it, this is overriding you and myself as an individual and how we truly actually work, which is still isn't really understood that well. More and more our experience is ignored for what is, you know, it's just ignored for something that somebody else has defined, that this is meant to be the experience that you're having. And therefore, anything outside of this that we've scientifically proven or said that you will have isn't actually your experience anymore. You know, unless it's told to us by an expert that we're giving, you know, that we're giving everything away to, we're giving our power away to, then basically it doesn't exist.
So my experience of life or how I've actually interacted with something doesn't exist. Only what exists is actually what's written down in that scientific evidence, that scientific study, or that policy that you've told me about that I'm meant to, when I do this, this is meant to happen. We are giving our experiences of our life and ourselves away and looking to others to define them for us over and over again. Looking at people in white coats to say, this is what's meant to happen to you. Actually, is that the case? It's your body. Take control of it. Don't just give that power away. Don't just look at somebody else for the answer of what you're meant to be experiencing your body on a moment by moment basis. You know, that what's almost being told to us now is that your experience of yourself is false. Only what I have written down as a scientific experiment and the outcome of that, or these clinical trials, is right. Your experience of it is wrong. It's false. Don't think that. That's almost what's being said to you nowadays. It's really testing you. And actually, you need to step out of that and take this back. And truly get back in touch with yourself and your experience of the world and your health. And be really strong about that as well. Because it's easy to look for somebody else for confirmation. This is happening to me. Well, actually, you've got that then. Is that the case? Oh, that's leading to that. Or that means that. Actually, what does it mean to you? Not what somebody else tells you it means. You know, it's just because something's proven by scientific fact that I believe nowadays doesn't mean that it's true. And how have we allowed this to become the case? You know, it isn't what we see, we hear, or we feel. That's not right anymore. My testimonials from my clients, no, that's not right. That's not accepted as proper science. You know, anecdotal evidence. What people say about their experiences with people. No, 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 no. We're not interested in that. Actually, it has to be proven in a laboratory. In this way, via the way that we have decided you can prove things. The fact that we're all individual, we're not machines, doesn't seem to matter anymore. It's my perception of what is going on that is now important. Our beliefs play a massive role in our health and how we create it. And therefore, if our beliefs are playing a massive role in our health, their beliefs, when they're doing scientific evidence and when they're trying to prove things in a specific way, and then they're telling you, you know, what is what they consider to be right, their beliefs have also influenced things, influenced that reality. They've had intention behind it, much the same as you've had intention behind it. I think science has forgotten it's about open-minded inquiry nowadays. It's that is what it used to be about. Curiosity. You know, the whole curiosity of what does that truly mean? Where is that taking me? Actually, because of the sponsorship, it's defined where it's going to take it in most cases, because the intention has already been set by the funding behind it. They've almost become dogmatic. It's like religion in some respects. It's, you know, people who bang on about their religion being absolutely right, and therefore that what's in that book is the way they have to live. People who rule, you know, it's become dogmatic rules almost to live by. Actually, loads of science is still theoretical. You know, it's become dogmatic about what is right and what is wrong. It's a bit like the schooling system. You see children now, they're not allowed to be curious, they're not allowed to really be exploratory outside of what is now right and wrong. You know, pursuing specific information which supports what their corporate sponsor wants them to is what it's about. And that creates intention, that creates their belief, it then creates that reality behind that scientific research. It doesn't take into account ourselves in that scientific research. It's only one perspective on it. It's not about the wider people perspective and about our experience of it. The intention creates an outcome. You know, scientists are incredibly intelligent people, but they seem to have forgotten that their work is meant for the greater good. not for the profiteering of a few, which is where it's headed, where the intention is set. This is why, you know, Rich is putting on there about EMFs and the you know, all about the cell towers and things like that. All of that science is out there, the research is out there, which proves the dangers of it, of them almost creating like a web across us all. And yet it's ignored for one intention, which is profiteering. It's not about the greater good of ourselves and our health. And it's a belief that's set that in place. And so much unanswered, so much loot is still unanswered. For instance, a lot of my clients tell me when they feel that they feel so much better from just talking to me in the first session. They feel listened to. But also, you know, what else has gone on for them in that session? They believed that suddenly they could feel better after lots and lots of people saying that it was a one-way street. You know, people, oh, you've just got to take more medication. You've got to be on this for the rest of your life. That's somebody's belief that's told them that, because there's an intention behind that. If we get people onto this medication for the rest of their lives, it creates a level of profit. Then we tie them in. It's a great business strategy. I can't deny it. But quite frankly, is it for the greater good? You know, I give people a space where they can actually talk much wider about their health rather than the one symptom. And suddenly they're seeing connections they never saw before. And they're seeing someone who actually says to them, well, do you know the body changes on a moment by moment basis? So actually, I don't believe that it's a one way street, that you have to go down that road of taking more and more medications and lots of more, you know, more different types of medications, and that you're unlikely to get well. I don't believe that. This is all about belief. It's all about my experience, because that's what I see happening. And suddenly these people start to feel better in that session. It's not even a number of sessions. It's in that session, because it's about belief. Suddenly they see that actually it's not the road they thought they were going to head down. And then they tell me, within about a week, my symptoms have already started to go. Yet I've not made any significant changes often to them. You know, small ones that were easy to deal with are often what they've done. So how's that work? You know? Seriously, it's far, far wider than what can be scientifically proven. Now, science would dismiss that. Science, you know, I have clients who are getting well despite what the medical people are saying to them, and having regular tests which are proving this, and the medical people just say, oh, I don't want to know what you're doing, but you're obviously doing the right thing, rather than capturing it, rather than understanding it. It's just kind of like, oh, it's an aside, you're one of the few people who believe they could get well, who believe they could do something different, who saw a different future, who saw a different path. It's important to understand that we control more of our body health than we realise. And it's through what we believe. It's not down to a pill to heal your body. It's not down to somebody else to heal your body. It's not down to somebody else to even tell you what is true and what isn't true. This is the thing. It's about you. It's about what's going on in your mind, which drives everything in your body. It's not about what someone else tells you. It's about you being curious. It's about you wondering, is that true? Is that false? What's true for me? What is my perception of that? Because just because it's my truth, just because I believe nutrition works, doesn't mean it's your truth. This is the thing about us all being individual. We all create our own realities around us. We create it for ourselves. We all create our own health from different things. We are like recipes with different ingredients that we pull in at different times due to our beliefs that drive us, due to our thinking that drives us. What works for me won't always work for you. And it's nice. But the great thing about these things is that you can try them. Be curious and try them. Find out for yourself. Create your own perceptions of it. Is it true for you? Is it not true for you? So what people are saying. Let's just have a quick look. global soup of electrical negativity. That's so true, isn't it? In many respects, if there's a lot of fear going around and people are talking about it over these EMFs and over the cell towers and stuff like that, we're not only creating a web of EMFs and electrical frequencies and the radiation, but also we're probably creating this whole web of fear, all of these ones and noughts probably going across and actually influencing us on many, many levels. That's such a fascinating thought. So let's see. It's a bitching, Bob. You allow them to explore themselves on all levels. They can then activate their repairs. You are the vehicle. They are the driver. You are absolutely right. And the great thing is that the people are just signposts. Things are just signposts to help you find your truth behind all of this. It's down to you and what's going on in your mind and how you interpret it. I believe 90% of health is in the mind. Some of my clients really struggle to grasp this. They want the test to prove that they're ill. They'll go searching for massive and masses of information. I've got some of the most informed clients on illness ever. And they'll say, do you know this illness? I've got this. I tick all the boxes for this. I've got this illness and I tick all the boxes for this. And I say to them, I used to have a dog chart, basically, a dog health chart. And I used to go right down and it used to say, has your dog done this? Yeah. Has it done this? No. Yeah. No. And I'd follow this hierarchy down. And basically, no matter which way I went, even if there was nothing wrong with my dog, basically, it used to say at the bottom of it, the dog's going to die, get it to the vet. I'd be in a right state about it. And in fact, there was probably nothing new. I'd just leave my dog to look after herself. To be honest, I give her a few herbs. She chooses them herself. She knows. My dog's going to live to about 300 from what I can work out. And that's because of what goes on in her mind. She's really quite settled, my dog. You learn a lot from a lurcher, in all honesty, and how chilled they are all the time and how they just don't seem to worry about what's going on. 90%, I believe, is in the mind. Everything we do is in our mind. We're creating it. We create the construct around us. But the more you look and try and prove that you are something, the more that you focus on it, the more you are likely to get all the tick boxes towards the end route of, like my dog book. You need to go to the vet. You can get all the tests in the world. I can do tests and my clients can almost make themselves ill on the test. Mostly in the mind. I can do a test 1 minute and feel lousy. I can do a test the next minute and I've changed my body state and changed my mind about it all. And the test will come back completely different next time. I have diagnostic equipment here. That's how quickly you can change it all. And they will, I've got clients make themselves iller and iller and iller because of what doctors have said to them. It's a one-way street. When you've got this illness, this is the only way you can go. You are likely to get worse and worse and worse. Only by proving it to themselves. You have to have the experience. Have to have a different perception. Just put those things in place and see if it's true or false for you. Use what's coming up around you. Everything that comes up around you is a test to help you prove something or disprove something for yourself. It's not about other people telling you what to do. If you don't have the mindset that you'll get better, no amount of pills or potions or remedies are going to change things for you. Because your thinking affects every cell in the body. And if you want to be ill, then believe me, you'll be ill. If you want to reduce the energy in your body, then there's no easier way to do it than just worrying yourself into an early grave. Worry is a killer of the energy, of the body. Yeah, where there is this worry, it's mostly in the mind. It's mostly in your mind. How much of what you worry about actually happens and comes true in reality? Probably less than you think if you start to really consider it. If you believe you can't change things, then you won't be able to change things. And it will be an absolute uphill battle. When people say to me, oh, I struggle to change, then believe me, they struggle to change. Oh, I struggle to go on a diet. You struggle to go on a diet. Oh, I struggle to lose weight. You struggle to lose weight. When I tell them that actually you could change in that instant everything and it doesn't have to be a struggle and it's just about what's in the mind, people look at me like I'm mad. But if you put your energy into what you don't want happening. If you want to make it hard for yourself, and believe me, environment will make it hard for yourself. This world will make it as hard as you want to make it. And Rich is saying he's sick of saying, trying to say this to his family. Yep. But you can only change yourself. The thing is, when we push stuff out to other people, often, you know, they will kick against it. They will try and fight against it and prevent it from happening to themselves, because it's not about them. You have to show them through experience. You have to have the experience yourself. And then that creates kind of a ripple effect. It is about you. It's never about anybody else in this world. You've only got yourself. You know, your family, we often... You know, I work with a few clients who are absolutely shattered all the time. They're shattered because they're constantly trying to change everything around them and everybody around them. So their energy is faced outwards. And it's a drain for them, a huge, huge drain. And yet if they brought it back to themselves and you bring it back in and hold it for yourself and just look at what you want of yourself. And what I find sometimes is those people either don't seem to bother you anymore. They start to change because they see the change in you. And Rich is saying the mind is the most powerful healer. I truly believe that. Absolutely. I talk about what you eat, drink and think. And thinking is the biggest part of it. I might be a naturopath at heart. And focused on nutrition, but most of my work is done around the mindset, because if I can't change minds, I can't change hearts around what you're going to do, in all honesty. And Bitchin' Bob saying my dog has the life of the queen. I'm not joking. I basically work to keep my dog in the luxury she's become accustomed to. Rich wants a lurcher. I can well recommend having a lurcher, to be honest. They're pretty low maintenance, but I will say I bought her a very long bed, and I would suggest if you have got a lurcher, they are long dogs, but what they tend to do is sleep sideways on the long bed, so they'll have their head and their bottom hanging off either side. I've talked to her about it, and she just doesn't seem to want to change this at all. I may as well have bought her a small square bed. Yeah, and Nick's saying, often get my dog looking with what seems to be wonder at why we make things so complicated. And this is the thing, isn't it? We do make things complicated. And often, you know, I see scientific research come out, and I read a lot of scientific research. I go back to the original documents. I look at the way they set things up, all the double blind tests and da-da-da-da-da. And actually, it's really, really complicated for what it often is a simple answer. And that we already have, that we already know. We actually know so much of what science then goes on to prove. I'm absolutely fascinated. Recently, I read a scientific document on the fact that a piece of research showed that your fizzy drinks caused obesity. I'm sorry, but I almost swear over that one. No, Sherlock. I could have proven that myself. You just have to go onto the estate and have a look at what people are drinking. Lots of money out there being spent in ways that actually where we truly know internally. And this is what I'm saying, we hand it all out often. We hand our experiences away. We're allowing them to take our experience of ourself away. And actually it's about bringing it back. Who are we? Actually, we are individuals. The medical people have industrialized a way of being for health. It's like the agribusiness have done the same thing. It's a one-stop shop. And you know, it basically has industrialized it so that it makes it quick and simple. But it's not about the individual. It's not about our growth. It's not about us personally or our personal health. They're not interested in that. It's only for one intention. And that's all about finances and money. So it's either about how much it costs or creating it. It's not about quality of nutrition. It's not about quality of true health care. It's not about quality of true health, which would give a vibrancy and performance. God, can you imagine if we actually really looked after our health and they truly gave us great health, where our economies truly could be and what we could be really creating in this world? We'd be incredibly powerful. In fact, we'd be scarily powerful. We'd be amazing beings, absolutely amazing. bitching then about Nick's dog. They really must wonder, I won't say that, WTF are those humans at? I think my dog does that on a regular basis, but it's probably not just down to sleeping sideways on the bed. Yeah, and let me just see. From Rich, basically how saddened he was about, you know, his family and stuff like that. It is hard, isn't it, with people around you? This is the thing. It's not about them. It's about you. You only have one life. And you can, you know, the only thing you can do is actually change your own perception of it all and work on yourself. Tom Campbell's work's really interesting. And I link it constantly with Bruce Lipton. I love the two of them. They do some brilliant stuff on YouTube. You know, if you've not seen it, then go and have a look at it all. And Tom Campbell's work's actually free on Google to read. So you could actually read the book. But believe me, once you've got those two concepts from Bruce Lipton and Tom Campbell under your belt and you actually understand it and the application of it, so it's not just like a theory, but it's actually how to apply it for yourself on a moment-by-moment basis, you have everything you need for good health. Get yourself a garden and you're rocking. Isn't that brilliant? You know? But that is, this is all you need to know, and that's all mind work. It's not about the nutrition so much. It's not about the fluids. It's about what goes on in the mind. Tom's work shows how you create your reality. This has blown me away just recently. I've read it before, but this Freeman Jack has helped me truly to actually comprehend it and apply it. And helped me to see how I've been applying it. You know, he talks about the probability about, you know, what happens and how high it is from what we think consciously and unconsciously. We are so, so powerful at creating what we want around us. Like I recently broke a bone in my foot and I had a whole day where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. So within 24 hours, I'd basically had no boilers, I had no heating, I chipped a bone in my foot, and on the same day, the plumbing had backed up where I lived. And all in 24 hours. And it was all gone in 24 hours as well. And the day before, I'd been sitting down thinking I could really just do with a day off. Lo and behold, I got a day off. And previously, I'd broken a bone in my foot a few years ago. And only about a week previously, I'd been saying I could just do with a break. So believe me, language matters when you're putting it out there. It's truly powerful stuff. You know, what you think, which includes your fears, it creates your reality. And, you know, when you think about it, consider what you're thinking on a moment-by-moment basis. You know, most of it is you're down to yourself. It's only a small proportion that's down to the collective. So what you're surrounding yourself with influences your thoughts. What you're worrying about influences your thoughts. What you're thinking about on a moment-by-moment basis influences your thoughts. It influences everything going forward. It influences what you are creating. It's driving your actions, which then create your future health in your body. What you eat, drink, and think matters. On a moment-by-moment basis. I cannot say it enough. And this is the experience of life. This is the experience of your body. So we experience it. And don't hand it away and say, am I meant to be experiencing this? Can you tell me that? You've got a white coat on. You've got a name in front of you, which is different than mine. You've done more study than me. You're more qualified than I am. Does this mean I'm meant to be having this experience? Am I meant to have this? Actually, bring it back to you and empower yourself and ask yourself that question. You have everything you need inside of you. It's just about surrounding yourself with the right people who can then guide you, who can inform you. And then you say, is this false for me or is this true for me? And this is where you become curious and you test and you test and you enjoy learning from life about what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And it's not about somebody's done a scientific piece of study which then says that you must feel like this when you do this. that's programming you to experience things in the way that someone with another intention has basically wanted you to experience it. Bring it back to what you intend to have in your life, what you intend to create with your body, and therefore going forward into your future. Your body's the only vehicle that will take you there. Let's see what else goes on in this. Let's go. What else? Does everybody else want a lurcher? You're not having mine. She's lovely. Okay. Yeah, Rich is saying about the drama and depressing words they come up with daily when they work in a shop. Well, this is it. People are negative all the time because they're not working in locations where they want to work. They're not doing things that they want to do. Not being true and honest to themselves. I've been there. I can't say I haven't been. I've experienced that myself. You know, when you do something and you're drained and you think, oh, is this what life's meant to be? Is this what work's meant to be? No. It means that you're not in the right thing and you're not being true to yourself. And, you know, sometimes you've got to find a way out of that. And then you may not just be able to walk away from something and go, actually, this isn't for me, but, you know, I have got to pay the bills and all this business. Actually, what do I want to do instead? And start focusing on that future. Start focusing on the reality that you actually want to create for yourself. Because that will drive your energy. That will drive your mind to focus on something different rather than the complaining and the negativity in the shop or wherever it is what you are in the work that you are, the drain. Because those people are drains because they're not happy. So they're not resonating. They're not vibrant. They're not energized. They're just desperate to do the job and then go home. Who can blame them? You know, so much of our work now is set up so that we're automans or, you know, automated. I think Bob says, you know, man is machine. That's all it's meant to be about. You're meant to turn up, do your job and go home. And in the meantime, if you're feeling a bit depressed about it, we'll medicate you so that actually we can continue, you can continue doing that god-awful, boring job that doesn't feed your soul, doesn't feed your heart, doesn't fill your body, doesn't give you energy, doesn't give you passion and drive for this life. Cool, blimey, guys. Yeah, if work feels like slavery, you're in trouble. Absolutely. It shouldn't feel like you're enslaved to it. Honestly. And I listen closely, you're talking about language there. I listen closely to the language of those people around me and those clients that I see. And I listen to those who tell me that it's hard for them to change, to take on board the advice. Those clients I know will find it hard. They're going to find it hard for themselves to make those alterations. If they're telling me it's hard, then believe me, it's going to be hard. If people are only seeing the negative in what they actually are doing or having happened to them, then believe me, that's what's going to continue happening. You know, those people who are negative all the time, particularly about health and things, then they'll probably find things to put in their way so that they can prove what they believe. So in effect, if they think that having good health and being slim and having energy is difficult, then believe me, it will be difficult. That those changes will be hard for them. They will put everything in their way to make it hard. You know, change is hard if you want to make it so. How hard do you want to make it for yourself? It can change in an instant. Listen to yourself and what you've got to say about things and yourself and others. I find it fascinating when people say to me, oh, you know, all you need is love. That's great. Why is so much negative stuff happening to you? Why actually are you basically, you know, why is your life falling apart in another area? Obviously, it's not all about love for you. What else is going on? There's other patterns going on there. There's other beliefs. Unconscious fears and stuff running and programming. It happens in all of us. That's why we can't always hand it out to other people. And, you know, we have all these guides and information and support out there. It's great. But don't just follow one person. Don't just follow one route. See if it's false or true for yourself. See how it makes you feel. See what the experience it gives you in your life. And don't just cling on to that way of being. Well, they've said that, so that must be right. I see this a lot with raw foodists. because I work predominantly, you know, lots of my clients are raw foodists, and lots of them will hold on to that despite the fact it's not making them well, in a way which one particular person may have said, this is the way you have to be raw. I'll say, what's the experience of that for you? Well, it's not working. I feel awful on it. So why are you carrying on? Well, they've said that this works. It works for them. So it's not just medical people. It happens in every single arena. And often we hold on to it. Oh, you know, this is, it's become my belief. Are you feeling good because of it? That's the question. Is it giving you energy? Is it giving you passion and drive for life? Does it excite you to spring out of bed in the morning thinking, God, I cannot wait to get on with today. This is bloody marvellous. Or are you thinking, oh God, listen to what people say around you. Are you surrounding yourself with the right people? But more importantly, what are you saying about things yourself? What are you unconsciously saying? How are you reacting to things? Because when we are using those negative language, it matters. It shows you your fears, often unconsciously. Your reactions when they're off the cuff are often your fears and reactions that you don't, that are unconscious, that are driving your behaviour. They affect every cell in your body. Every single cell on a moment-by-moment basis will be affected by that thinking because it drives your actions. That's exciting, though. How exciting is that? Because fundamentally, you can change everything. So who are you surrounding yourself with? Because it matters. It totally matters. What are you listening to? What are you taking part in? What are you actually agreeing to? When people say to me, well, I have to do this because, really? I love playing devil's advocate. Do you really have to do that? Oh, yeah, I've got to. It's part of, you know, it's part of something I have to do because it's part of my duty. Does it make you feel good? Well, no. So how's that making you feel overall? Does people enjoy that moment? Probably not. How negative is that? You experience this world through every cell of your body. Every single cell. You don't just experience it through what you see or what you hear or, you know, what you're interpreting or what you feel. Actually, you feel it through every single cell. And you've got about 70 trillion, depending on which book you read. And so 10 million of your cells die every second and then are recreated. Well, not recreated, they're created. And they're created on what you eat, drink and think. That moment by moment basis creates your cells. So your thinking absolutely matters. Your experience you have in this world absolutely matters. In 12 months' time, what do you want your body and your health to be like? Because in 12 months' time, 70% of your body won't be the same body you have now. It can be evolved. It will be evolved. When people tell me they find it hard to change, I'm like, well, you might do on a conscious level, but quite frankly, your body's doing it unconsciously just at that moment and that moment and that moment and that moment and that moment. It's busy doing it without you. It's busy changing. It would have a great time doing it if you just let it. It's doing it on what you drink, what you think. Everything is building those cells for your future. What do you want that future to be? What do you want to experience? Because that's happening, and that happens despite what other people can tell you. When people tell me it's a one-way street with health, I'm like, why is that the case? Oh, it's terminal. Really? But your body just wants to live. Your body just wants to evolve and change and do its absolute best. It would do everything it can to keep itself alive. You put the right thing in and it will basically give you back what you give it. Your experience of this life and the life you create around you matters because it has a fundamental impact on your body. It's this, your body is the one vehicle that you live your life through, your physical life through. What a beautiful cycle it is. That whole creation. That moment you fed your body and you had thinking was actually creating what could be a beautiful body in the future. Beautiful energy, enabling you to have passion and drive and motivation. It's not about anybody else. It's not about disempowering yourself. and looking outwards at what other people are saying should be happening in this world. Actually, it's about what you want and what you're creating for yourself. We need to realize how powerful our cycle of recreation is. Truly, we have so much at our fingertips, and yet we give our power away. You know, we sit with somebody and say, I've got, you know, I have this symptom. Therefore, you know, and they'll say, you have that. Do I really? I'm okay. What does that mean? Well, this means that this is going to happen. You're going to have to take these for the rest of your life. Really? Well, you question that. Is that true or false? Is that your perception of it? Change things. Experiment. Have a, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy being curious. What works for you? What doesn't work for you? Are they telling you the truth or not? Even am I telling you the truth? It's about everybody. It's not about anybody else but you. Doug Dodgers, what with our thoughts we create the world. You're absolutely right. And bitching saying, oh, what would bitching say? It's just moved. Change starts when you can say, I don't think like that anymore. Then bam. Cool, that's almost like a superhero style. It comes when you say no, Rich. Absolutely right. When we start to actually bring it back to ourselves and ask, is this the experience that we want? And what is the experience that we want to have? And is this helping me to have that or not? And your thoughts shape your physical brain. Your thoughts shape your physical body. It shapes everything. Because Bruce Lipton's work shows that fundamentally your at a cellular level that you have potentially in the membrane is where your brain, where your thinking actually happens. So bitch is saying when you create the positive thoughts, the action is created, that's projected. The effects are then returned to you and self-perceived based on the original thought. Now you see your reality that you created. I love the super being. I want you all to actually, you know, have a to-love list. Tom Evans was absolutely right. I don't want you to set yourself a to-do list. I want you to set yourself a to-love list. Everything that you think you've got to do, put to one side and write to love. And then actually, what do you want to love doing today? What do you want to have fun doing today? What do you want to enjoy? And then rock through it. Stick some great music on and have a laugh and do it with friends. And just enjoy it. Enjoy that moment. Now we can all be super beings. And at the top of that to love list, I want you to put be a super being. Man. Because there's nothing better in this world than having a to love list, which basically says I'm going to be a super being today. Just please don't get yourself arrested going out with your pants on outside your trousers. Oh, yeah. I can imagine you guys. Honestly, have some fun with it. So it's your experiences that matter and how you then take that experience and respond. Let's get back to ourselves and what is actually important here. Experiments, it's been shown by scientists, are affected by who is in that room. And the intention of those carrying out the experiment. It makes a bloody mockery of the clinical trials in many respects. Don't tell me that that works. Experience it for yourself. When you're living your life on a moment by moment basis and you're creating it with intention behind what you're doing, it will change everything. But that's what other people are doing. When they're telling you to take things and to do things and that you're going to experience this, they have an intention behind it. And it's down to you to actually say, is this true or false for me? What is the experience that I get from it? Michelle last week, Michelle Murray, who I had on, was it the week before? No, I think she came on the week before. She made a lovely point, which was, you know, what are we leaving behind with every person and everything we do? You know, if you imagine you're leaving a watermark on everyone that you meet and everything you do, are you leaving one that enhances their life or not? You should feel that through your whole body. It should be your experience. If you are living with the passion and drive and motivation, then blimey, can you imagine the influence, the watermark you're likely to leave on other people? You know, she said to me that on air, basically, about the fact that whenever she kind of thinks, she starts to feel like she wants to dance. Now, I dance quite a lot. So in effect, she just says, all right, I know when you've had a really good effect on me because I want to dance. People should want to dance with you. They should want to, you know, be alongside you, helping you create the energy. How much fun would that be? How life-enhancing would that be? I keep imagining that what we do is cause ripple effects. I imagine that if I were to interact with you, everything I do now, it's all about, you know, almost being like for me it'd be a chocolate ripple rather than a raspberry ripple. I have this like raspberry ripple through you. Hey! I want you to feel that ripple effect. My intention is behind it, is to empower you to understand that you should not be giving your power away to anybody else, including me. That you have everything you need. You know, I want you to experience energy. I want you to experience the passion. You know, for me, it's about realizing we're all powerful people, not just one or two of us who set themselves up to gurus or, you know, have written great books and things like this. And yeah, I'm not saying that they're not guides in this life, but it's about picking it like a recipe. You are a cake. Imagine yourself as a cake, and different ingredients go into making your cake. And it'll always be slightly different. You know, the person next to you, they're a different cake. They'll have different ingredients that make them into a great cake. What type of cake do you want to be? Be a great cake. Come on. But we're all different. We all have different ingredients that make us, us. And it's not about someone telling me that to make a Debbie Walker, actually, what you need is these set of ingredients and this makes the perfect Debbie Walker. Actually, that's just not the case. It's about being curious in this life. Because different things will make you into the person that you need to be at different times. And some of it you will have to let go and let, you know, and leave behind. And others you'll embrace. And you'll think, why did I never look at that previously? It's about your experience through this life. You don't need experts or science to give you good health. Just the belief that you have the knowledge and wisdom to do it for yourselves and that get the right people around you for the support and guidance. It's your fabulous journey. It's about having a map. But it's not about the fact that, oh, I'm on this map and I have to live this map completely and this is the journey. Go off, explore. All of that exploration, that travel, that journey will give you what your life is meant to be. It's not about the end point. So you need to look at what you think about all day, what you're eating and what you're drinking. Eat, drink and think. The whole thing gives you that, helps to give you that experience. We aren't meant to be sick. We're not meant to be ill. We're not meant to be fatigued. We're not meant to be worn out. We're not meant to be falling apart, as most people tell. Oh, I'm falling apart. It's like the normal thing that people say to me. Oh my God, you'll take forever with me. I'm falling apart. They're probably the people that often I sort out the quickest. Because at the end of the day, you know, suddenly they say, oh, I don't have to be falling apart. Well, you won't be using gaffer tape with me. Not this time. You know, we're meant to live with the energy and drive. We're meant to have a brilliant life. We're meant to be creating positive, amazing ripples with each other that keep us all going, that keep driving us in the direction where we're just like blown away by each other. We aren't meant to be, have a domino effect where people are almost just bowling each other over and that's it. Once you're over, you're over. You know, so people can't get back up again. We're meant to be you're meant to interact so that we're powerful and we have life-enhancing experiences with each other. So let me come back to this advertising and stopping testimonials by the EU health claims. So what? I think now's the time to be rippling our power in a way that shows them that laws mean little when people have passion to change and we understand that we have control over ourselves, over our health and our own lives, and that we don't need other people to tell us about what we're going to experience in our life. Are they going to stop us from talking to someone else about how someone like me or another practitioner has helped you on your journey? How can they truly do that when we use our ripple effect? When we use this as we should be doing? Do you believe in their system or do you believe in ours? And ours is about experience. Ours is about true, bringing it, the true individual, bringing it back to ourselves. Because then we can work collectively. Their system's driven by fear and worry about what might not be. Well, if you don't take this medication, then God knows what's going to happen to your health. You know, I think ours is far more powerful. Drive things by our passion for seeing each other healthy and energised, funny, living life, high on life, succeeding in our way, not in a Western defined way. We can change everything in an instance if we believe we can. By taking part in that reality or construct, we help to create it. We continue to be enslaved by control that's wielded by the few because they know how to do it, and they know how to do it through worry and fear. Just go inside and ask yourself, what would make you laugh and sing? What should you be putting on your to love list today? What would give you energy? What would make you into a vibrant being? What food do you need to eat? What do you need to drink? How do you need to interact with people? That experience will give you health that no scientifically studied medication or anything else will ever give you. Even I can't give you that. Only you can give you that yourself, that through the experiences that you have, through you questioning, through you being curious, through you testing, is this true or false for me? What gives me the life that I want? What gives me the reality that I want to create? Time to take control, guys. But it's about being disciplined about what you eat, drink and think. I learn more every single day from people around me because I surround myself with the right people. It's about experiencing this in the way that you want to, not from what other people tell you and how they think that that you should be experiencing it. You know, there's sources out there. TNS is an amazing source. It's got an astonishingly knowledgeable resource base of people and hosts. They blow me away continuously. They have an amazing passion for what they do. And there's loads of information out there which you can draw on. And lots of it's totally free. It's given free. And in particular, TNS is given free. People have a passion here. And there's nothing to gain from these people, you know, in regards to what, you know, financially, there's no gain for me from doing this and for the other hosts. We do it because we love it. And that's what's great about something like TNS. You know, we're prepared to give out the information so that you can then go and empower yourself by deciding for yourself, is that right or wrong for me? What is the experience that I want from this? Our sharing empowers you in ways to go out and then create that ripple effect, which I truly hope you do go and do. So if you were to consider how to create a watermark that people talk about, you know, due to how passionate you are about life, how curious you are about life, how you've worked out for yourself how to move through this life and journey through it in a really interesting way, you know, then what would that look like for you today? If you were to create positive ripples around those, with those around you, what does that mean you being today? And what would you be doing? What are you actually doing to help do that? Spontaneous healing is shown over and over again, and it's called, more often than not, a miracle. But that is the true power we hold, the ability to change things in an instant. Our body evolves and changes unconsciously and it does it on a moment by moment basis, and it does it without us thinking about it. That is an amazing, amazing thing to happen. So can you imagine if we become more disciplined about what we think, about what truly can happen? You can change your state in an instance, and that can be a game changer for everything, absolutely everything, everything around you, the people, the things that you're doing. Let's rock 2013, guys, and let's make it a game changer. Right. Let's see if Shazis is in the house. So we see, I'll have a quick look. Is Shazis in the house? He's in the house. Hey, 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 man. We have our own, very own Tesla, I have to say. And I can't believe that Shazis is still basically having to use TNS as a forum, because quite frankly, I reckon it's only a matter of time before Shazis is able to just teleport himself straight into your living room and talk to you. And, well, you know, if anyone's heard his energy, then quite frankly, whether your living room will still be standing after it, it's a bit like the start of, I can't remember the rock show in the 80s on Channel 4. It's gone right out of my head where it used to blow everything up. But that's a little bit of Shazis. That's a lot of Shazis, let's face it. And, he's on next. And he's rather fantastic, even if I do say so myself. So, guys, it's been great to speak to you all. And I do want you to have a game-changing 2013, because, quite frankly, we deserve it. And have passion, have some drive, have a great Christmas, won't you all? And I love what I do. I truly love what I do. And, I hope that you've enjoyed listening to me for the last few months. And I'll speak to you soon. And I've got no idea what we're going to play next, but I better tell Nick that we're going to put some music on for you. Same music, and Nick will sort that out, and then suddenly I'll disappear. And thank you, Bitchin, that's lovely. And Rich, so bye, guys. Oh, the tube. Yeah, I was thinking YouTube, but it's the tube, isn't it?